The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" The angel said to her in reply, "Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. As we celebrate today, the Immaculate Conception of Mary is not merely something that happened to Mary. It is Mary being preserved from sin and the effects of sin by the merits of the death and resurrection of Jesus, so that she could be the mother of God. But it also shows us what that purity from sin, that if we would not have ever committed personal sin or had original sin, what that life would look like. What it would be like to be in perfect union with God as human beings here on earth. And somewhat surprisingly, it's not just a life of rainbows and butterflies. It's not just an easy, wonderful, joyful life. I think there is great joy in being close to God. But in the scene we have in today's gospel, it's not just that the angel shows up and says, "Mary, you're going to have a wonderful life. Everything's going to be easy. Everything's going to come up in your favor. Congratulations." He really calls Mary to a difficult thing, telling her that she's going to conceive this child, not on her timeline in any way, shape, or form, out of any way that she could conceive of this happening, that she could not understand how she could become a mother, let alone the mother of the Messiah. And yet in the midst of all of that, Mary has a great trust and confidence in God our Father. I think in many ways that's what the Immaculate Conception is supposed to remind us of. That because of sin, we have become kind of skeptical of God, wondering if he has our best interests in mind, wondering if there's really enough grace and goodness in the world to provide for us personally. And so when we have those doubts, we tend to grasp at sinful things, much like Adam and Eve did in the garden. And when the serpent shows up and tempts them, the heart of that temptation is realizing that they can't trust God. The devil shows up and says, "Oh, God put you in this garden. You can't eat from any of these trees. What a mean guy." And Eve goes, no, we can eat of all the trees except for that one." "Oh, that's because he doesn't want you to be like him." And all of the serpent's tricks are to get Adam and Eve to not trust the goodness of God. And even in the reading we have in the first reading after the sin, I wonder if God is really trying to show Adam and Eve that they can still trust him. But oftentimes I think we hear this and we kind of assume that God is being like a police officer trying to catch us in the act of doing something wrong. And maybe he's angry with Adam and Eve knowing that they are naked, so they hid themselves and they hid themselves from God, saying, how did you know this? You must have eaten from the fruit that I have forbidden you to eat. But I wonder if instead of kind of someone angry trying to catch them in the act, I wonder if the author of Genesis is trying to show us that God is still like a good father. That in this moment, he's almost trying to coax out a confession from Adam and Eve. He's just trying to coax out from them that they have sinned, that they've turned against God, but that they can still trust him. They can still ask for forgiveness and be restored to union with him. Now, God doesn't ultimately get that response. Adam and Eve start to play the blame game, right? Adam says, well, Eve made me do it. And he said, the serpent made me do it. And God goes, okay, well, not exactly what I was looking for, but we'll use that anyways. But with that understanding, God is trying to show Adam and Eve that even after the original sin, even after they have rejected God's goodness and failed to trust in him, that they can still trust him. They can still come back and ask for forgiveness and trust that God will provide for them. In some ways, in her Immaculate Conception, I think Mary shows us that perfect trust that we can have in God our Father. Not a trust that everything's going to turn out in our favor, but that even in moments of fear or concern, she clearly is in this moment of the Annunciation with the angel Gabriel. That even when we don't understand how things can work out, we can say, Lord, I do trust that you care for me. I trust that you have enough love and goodness and grace to provide for me in this moment. And even if I can't really see how that's going to work out, I do trust in you. I don't want to grasp for those sinful things. I don't want to grasp in my own pride for the things that I can control. I don't want to grasp for earthly attachments or worldly pleasures, thinking that those can provide better than you can. Instead, Lord, I want to have a perfect trust in you, knowing that you can and will provide for me, even when I can't even imagine what that will look like. Brothers and sisters, I think that kind of disposition, that trust in God our Father, is what allowed Mary to not only be preserved from sin, but also to trust God all throughout her life. To trust God as she carried the Christ child in her womb. They had to go to Bethlehem and then flee to Egypt. When she had to raise this child in Nazareth, probably not knowing exactly what that meant. When she had to walk all around the Holy Land, following him as he preached and cured the sick. Going with him to Jerusalem, seeing him be rejected and tortured and killed. Only to trust that God could still provide for them. And even though it looked bad, she could say, Lord, I know that you have provided for me. I know that you'll provide for me and my son in this moment. Brothers and sisters, let us pray that we can have that purity of heart. A purity of heart that is certainly free from sin, that doesn't fall into those sinful desires that we have. But also a pure heart like the heart of Mary. I can trust that God our Father will provide for us. That he has enough and cares for us enough to give us exactly what we need, even if we can't imagine what that might look like. So that, like she did through the merits and grace of the resurrection of Jesus, we can overcome all sin in our lives, having a pure heart that allows us to trust in God as a good Father.